Now, if you look in your bulletin, it says John 17. But that was before I knew Julia was going to be baptized. And so we're actually not going to do that sermon today. We're going to be learning a bit more about what baptism is. And we're going to look at Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 27. Now, some of you may be here today and have never looked for the book of Galatians before. It's toward the back of your Bible, but honestly, it might only be two or three pages in the entire of the book. So if you want, just look in the table of contents in the front or ask a neighbor where to find that. So Galatians 3, verses 26 and 27 in particular. Where do you belong? With whom do you belong? Let's read God's word. Galatians 3, 26 and 27. This is the sword of the Spirit. Paul writes to the Galatians, "For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free. There is no male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." Let's pray. Our Father, this book, the Scriptures, the Bible, is not like any other book. For it is inspired by you. It will not err. You will not err in your word to guide us rightly into the paths of eternal life by the working of your Spirit. Open not just our minds, but open up our hearts. Let us see the kingdom of God. Let us see the face of Christ. Let us be drawn in by your glory, even as we consider these words from the Apostle Paul to the Galatian churches in the first century. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, maybe some of you are not Commanders fans. I don't know why. I don't know why you're not watching the Commanders fans, but that's okay. You don't have to be a Commanders fan to be a Christian. But if you are a Commanders fan, you probably know that they stink. They're terrible. And they're so terrible that they actually got the second overall pick in the NFL draft, which is great. So that's good. Now, imagine they get this young stud out of college, just amazing football player, right? Maybe he's a quarterback, and everyone's super excited. The NFL draft comes up, they have him come up before everybody, and they have his jersey with his name on the back, the logos, you know, all the symbols of Washington Commanders, they put it on him like regalia, like he's some kind of king. He's got the symbols of the Washington Commanders. They give him all the gear the next day, and the shoulder pads, and all the pants, and the socks with the right colors on it, and the jersey with his number, and all the symbols of the Commanders, right, the big W now. And then they have their first practice, and he doesn't show up. And he always showed up in college. What's going on here? And then the second day of practice, he doesn't show up. And they gave him the first day, but then the coach is calling him. Nobody can get a hold of him. The third day, he doesn't show up, and they send people out to his house. It's just over there by Seven Corners, actually. And when they get there, knock on the door, nobody answers. Then they hear some weird sounds in the backyard, like maybe somebody's playing football. They go back there, and they find him. He's wearing the full gear of the Commanders. All the, you know, the symbology of the Washington Commanders all over him. He's got the full thing on. He's like, "Down, sit, hut, hut, hut." And then he runs out, throws the ball himself, catches it. Oh, spins. Whoa, move. Oh, no, I got tackled. All right, second down. He's playing football by himself. The coach is like embarrassed for him. and infuriated at the same time. You did not get drafted to play football by yourself. You got drafted to this team to play football for the team. Now, that's an absolutely stupid story, right? I know, I get it, I know. That doesn't really happen, never happened, won't happen, I hope, right? But, sadly, this sort of thing does happen in the church. People think that the symbols, the symbol of baptism, which says, you are a part of this team, is actually only about them, the individual, and God. And they go off to live life with God by themselves, and not as part of a community, not as part of a church. And the reason is a lot of the teaching in the church sadly doesn't always bring this out. Maybe mine hasn't. Typically in the American church, we're far more prone to emphasize the value of the individual. And God values the individual. And less prone to value the corporate, larger community. And so the meaning of baptism, which is in large part about belonging, gets lost. Baptism is about belonging. And belonging is so important to being a human being made in God's image. We were made to belong to God, and with the creation of Eve and procreation of children and families and people, we were made for one another. We were made to belong, and because of sin, people are fractured and fragmented within themselves and within their communities. There is a deep longing for belonging, and baptism is about belonging. Let's see how we can learn this from the Apostle Paul here in Galatians 3. And we'll begin in verse 26. Baptism is about belonging, first of all, to God. And we see this in the language of sons of God. For in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God. Now this does not mean that he's only speaking to the male Christians in Galatia. Paul's referring to men and women, boys and girls, who belong to God as his children in the church. The reason Paul uses the sons of God language is that the Galatian churches were part of the larger Roman Empire, and so they were familiar with the language of sons receiving an inheritance. It's adoption language, or it's just family inheritance language. And so, sons receive the full inheritance of their father. And so, we belong to God, Paul is saying, and because we belong to God, we inherit all things that are his, meaning all of creation. Of course, this isn't a new concept. You look in the Old Testament, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, but also, we learn in one of the Psalms, it is the meek who shall inherit the earth. You see, we are all sons of God. But my main point here is that Paul, right afterwards, speaks about baptism. For as many of you as were baptized. And so the symbol of being God's children, the symbol of being his sons and daughters who will inherit all things, is baptism. Baptism is about, first of all, being the children of God and belonging to him. Do you receive this? How are you receiving this? And do you see yourself as part of the children of God? Do you respond to God as somebody you belong to as a child? How can you apply this in your prayer life to understand this reality more? Do you look at CCCVA then as your spiritual family? Do you look at churches in Africa, Asia, Latin America, Canada, etc., as your spiritual family? How could you begin to greet people differently at church on Sunday that might help you learn and help them learn that we belong to God? We have one Father. Well, baptism isn't simply about belonging to God, because with that concept, we could still kind of get it mixed up like this is just me and God and not us and God. Well, Paul goes on to say that baptism is in effect about belonging to God in Christ through faith. He says here, "For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith." Now, this language of in Christ is kind of almost like a technical way of putting things. In the Old Testament, though, we find that it has to do with being part of a covenant community. So people might say that they were in David. And what that meant was that they were covenanting with God through David, who was the king over the people. Paul is saying here that we are sons of God in covenant with God as a community together through the person of Jesus Christ. And that's why he says we were baptized into Christ. The symbol of baptism is then pointing you to the reality that we are in covenant as a community with our Father through our elder brother Jesus. Now, why are we sons of God? Well, it actually becomes even clearer if you just look down and look into chapter 4, verse 4. "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, to redeem those who are under the law." Jesus Christ is the unique Son of God. He is not adopted into God's family. He is the eternal Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. And he became man to include people who were fractured, who didn't know how to belong, who were grasping at things for belonging that were never meant to give that sense of ultimate belonging. He became a man. He lived a perfect life that we could not live. He died in our place for our sins. He rose from the dead as the Son of God incarnate to make us sons and daughters. Because of his work, we are adopted by God's grace, by his working. We would never have chosen God. The heart disease of sin had messed us up too much. We just wouldn't want him. And this message of the gospel, this message about a crucified Savior dying for our sins, we wouldn't have wanted it. We never would have desired it. But God, in his mercy, sending his Son, also sent his Spirit so that we would be raised from spiritual death to new life, to see how wonderful, in fact, God really is, how wonderful his Son is, and believe in him. And so by grace, we are adopted into God's family as his children. And when we are raised from spiritual death to spiritual life, and we have faith, well, we have faith. It's a natural connection. Being raised to new spiritual life leads us to having faith. Faith, in other words, is a gift of God. And it's what connects us to Jesus Christ. It's what connects us to him in covenant with our Father, which forms us as a community. And baptism is the symbol that attends all of this. Now notice it's faith that connects. And I mentioned this earlier. It's not your perfection that connects. Julia put this very well. It's not your keeping of God's words perfectly that connects you to Christ. It's not you having reached a certain level of spiritual maturity that connects you to Jesus. It's actually the very opposite. It's the recognition that nothing you could do could deal adequately with the problem that you have with God. But that Jesus' works, both in His perfect life and in His death for you on the cross, that this is enough. That's what baptism is about. It's not about belonging to a community because you're the perfect member of the community. It's about recognizing that you are not a perfect member of the community, but Jesus is. Jesus is the perfect member of the community. And that's why faith connects us, because faith is about an open hand that gives nothing to God, none of our works or our goodness or our perfection, but about laying hold of the gift that God gives us in Jesus. And that's what baptism is about. You see, when someone gets baptized, when that water is poured on them, what are they doing? Are they taking and eating? Are they drinking? No, that's reserved for the Lord's Supper. When you get baptized, you are absolutely passive. It's not about what you do that makes you a part of this community. It's not about what you do that grants you this sense of belonging or the right to belong. It's about what Christ has done on your behalf. That's what baptism is about. You are now a member. You are now an adopted child of God because God the Son has made it all possible. Now, thirdly, this is the last point, baptism is, again, the symbol of our belonging. Now, here Paul is talking about how baptism brings us into Christ and we put on Christ. Now, just because you pour water on somebody doesn't make that happen. When we pour water on an adult who believes or on a baby, because we baptize the children of believers, it doesn't automatically mean that we force God's hand to adopt somebody. Otherwise, we just go out on the street and spray water on everybody. You know, go out on 95 while people are driving by on a hot day. Ah, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Look at that. We saved 1,000 people in 5 minutes. Boom. It's not like that. Paul's talking about this in the ideal sense, the way it's supposed to work. Okay? But it's applied to believers and their children as a symbol of being in God's family. And as the symbol is applied, it calls for that internal reality. It calls the person who's baptized to lay hold of what this means in their life. The promise of God that He will cleanse you of all of your sins, take away your guilt and your shame, make you a new creature. That's what it's calling, is the symbol of our belonging. The reality of living faith must be there. And therefore, it is the symbol of our unity, not only with God, not only with Christ, but with one another, with all the baptized. There is one Lord, one God, one faith, and as Paul says in Ephesians, one baptism that unites us. In fact, it's even, Paul likens it to putting on clothing. All who've been baptized in Christ have been clothed in Christ. It's our liquid clothing, if you will. And everyone who's been baptized has now come to share in this common clothing of Jesus Christ. He is what we are identified by. He is our identity. And that's why now he gets into this. This is very interesting. Think about this. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave or free, male or female. What? Paul, what are you talking about? You're saying Christians no longer are male or female? No! That's not what he's saying. He's saying, though, there's something that transcends all of our differences that unites us, that gives us our sense of belonging that we were created to have as children of our Creator, as children of our Redeemer, as children of God. You know, being Jewish or Greek, both good things. Nothing wrong with being a Jewish person. Nothing wrong with being a Greek person. But then, because of sin, Jews and Greeks, back in the first century, what about slave or free? Nothing wrong with being in these two social classes. Now, just a quick word about slavery in the first century, far different from chattel slavery in early America, okay? It's more like if you went to a restaurant, ordered a meal, found out you left your credit card at home, and Now they say, okay, go in the back and wash the dishes. Right? That's, I'm not covering the whole, you know, first century slave thing, but in a lot of cases it was basically a job that you were doing to pay off debt. It may have also had something to do with other things. We're not going to get into all that right now. But the point is that these were different social classes, almost like different jobs. One was lower class, one was higher class. Nothing wrong with that. But of course, sometimes people can look down on each other if they're from different classes. What about men and women? Of course, we were made in God's image, male and female. Nothing wrong with that. But of course, men and women always get along, right? No, sometimes we can have antipathy towards one another, mistreat one another because of our gender, because of our sex. But what Paul is saying, and here's the thing, is that where before we found our sense of belonging in our culture, I am an Italian Irish American, I am a white American, so I am allied with white people. I am a middle class or upper middle class suburbanite, so I belong with the suburbanites. I'm a man, so I am not a woman and look down on women because our group is better. Or vice versa, right? Where Paul is saying we used to find our sense of belonging in all of these things that, although good, were never meant to give us our ultimate sense of belonging. Now Christ, now our Father, now our elder brother has given us what we need, what we were always meant for to find our belonging. We were never meant to find our belonging in these secondary identities, which are good in and of themselves, but bad when they get made first. We were made to belong to God and to one another as God's children. And that's what the symbol of baptism is all about. How are you doing with that? I know it's a real struggle. Our culture is absolutely, what's the word? We're captivated by the whole notion of identity. Who am I? Who are you? Who are we? And people are finding their identity in all kinds of things. But even here, I can feel that tug and pull in my own heart. Do you feel it? Certainly in the church where many of you are Chinese Americans, maybe you feel the pull. Am I more Chinese or am I more American? Sometimes I don't feel like I fit in either category. This happens in a lot of cultures, especially second cultures. And I'm not saying that that's not something that you need to work through, because it is an important question. You are Chinese American. I am Italian and Irish American. These are not things that we cast off. Paul's not saying that, but what he's saying is, how are you doing at remembering that your first and primary identity is children of God, regardless of all these differences? Have you ever found that when you make those other things your primary identity, there's always some way in which you don't fit into that group just perfectly? Or maybe there are those people that do fit so perfectly in it and they look down on the others? Well, how about belonging to a community where it's not about what you do? It's not about how perfect you are in terms of your fit for belonging, but it's about how perfectly fit Jesus is. How about being in a community where it doesn't matter if you're mentally ill, if you were born with not all of your capacities, like physically or mentally or emotionally? How about being a part of a community where that person belongs to it just as much as you do? And if you're that person doesn't look down on you for that. How about belonging to a community where it doesn't matter if you're Chinese or white or black? The main thing is that we have Christ as our elder brother and Jesus as our Father. How about belonging to a community, though, where also the idea is you are Chinese American, you are black, you are from a lower social class, you are from a higher social class. How can you use the resources of your culture, your class, your standing, to benefit the whole community for the glory of our Father and our elder brother? And I guess that's moving us from baptism, the symbol of our belonging, to another symbol. Another symbol of our belonging that is a bit more active, if you will. That activity of contributing to the community. That the activity of taking and eating, which lends itself to full participation in the community. Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took the bread and broke it and said, "This is my body, broken for you. Take and eat, all of you." On the same night, he took the cup and said, This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood for the forgiveness of sins. Take and drink, all of you." This eternal Son of God, who became a Jewish man, did not offer the bread and the cup to only Jewish people. He came to share this meal. And what speaks more of belonging than a common meal around the table with all the peoples of the earth? We're going to have the ushers come forward to pass out the elements. If you have been baptized and you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, please participate. If you have yet to be baptized and believe and come before the elders with your confession, then please let it pass for now. But don't let the moment pass. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And further, if you're from another church but have been baptized and come to believe this gospel of God's free grace, please, we all belong together. We are all one family. So please do participate with us today.